is a Wild Talk Radio special event.
The following call is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Johnny Devine.
Natty Neidhart.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
Need the info.
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air.
Oh, joy.
Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit.
You're listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
Dave's not here!
Woohoo!
You don't hear me not complaining.
Who's the man?
Timmy!
You love it, it's good.
Kick ass, dude!
And now, get ready for the Wrestle Talk Radio.
It is time.
That's it, you big
man! Live from the net.
Let's go!
Yeah, baby!
And welcome to a post-pay-per-view edition of Wild Talk Radio, or Wrestle Talk Radio, sorry, here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the Spud Guy, with the other half of the four-man team.
I'm half of the four-man team. Yeah.
Yeah, we're half of the four-man team. So, we're two members short tonight. Tim Stein and Internet Dave are not here. So, but I'm joined by Omega, as always. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Awesome. By the way, I hate Hasbro.
Yeah, we covered that, I think.
No, they took the money out again. Oh. After putting it back, they took it out again.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even supposed to do that. I mean, they should be in the mail tomorrow.
I hope that anybody listening connected to the Hasbro Toy Company, especially their online buying division, realizes you guys suck. All right, I'm better now.
Good. Okay, that was conversation for another show that we do.
Yes, it is. But anyway, so the pay-per-view tonight.
WWE Armageddon.
Yes. Let's start, before we get into the individual breakdown of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start with an overall grade for the pay-per-view?
Okay, this is reverse from usual.
Yes. So let's start with an overall grade. What would you, after the last match,
oh,
start
man.
To finish, what would you grade the pay-per-view as?
Oh. Probably either a... it's either a very strong B+ or a weak A-.
See, I was gonna go a very steady A-. Because the only, and you know me, it's not that I like watching the women in spandex. It's that I actually enjoy women's wrestling. You know what I mean?
Right. Also do I when, you know, they actually wrestle.
Right. I enjoy women's wrestling, and three of the six competitors in that women's tag match were not
eight.
Half. Was it four side?
It's 4-on-4.
So four. I mean half, because you had Natty.
Uh huh.
You had Victoria.
Right.
Mickie James, and then Maria.
Who was the dark horse?
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were, the four of those were all decent wrestlers. I mean, Maria, under CM Punk, has learned a lot.
Under him. Got it.
Yes. Never mind. But no, really, I mean, she has. She's learned a lot. I thought the only part that took away from the pay-per-view was the stupid Shawn Michaels JBL promo that really had nothing to do with pay-per-view. Absolutely nothing to do with pay-per-view. And I wish they would have just gotten, they would axe that storyline right now.
Yeah, we talked about it over the phone. it's not something that has any place in an entertainment venue. Especially
not right, not at the moment, no.
Yeah. But more than that, a pay-per-view is not where you break a major storyline. You do it on Raw, where you can actually get a lot more people into it.
Right. And especially, like, alright, my major gripe was that, and I told you this on the phone, had that storyline occurred, say, in the mid to late 90s when the dot-com bubble was still pretty big and hadn't burst yet and everybody was still making money, then we all would have been like, how is he broke? And we all would have bit into the storyline.
Right.
But now, now it's one of those where it's like, it hits too close to home. You watch this to be entertained, not to be reminded of reality.
Yeah, it's an escape. That's
right.
The whole point of something like WWE that plays out more like a comic book than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, storylines like this, they and I know they want to go for that more realistic edge now. But you kind of got to remember that people watch this to escape.
Right.
You know? And so you got to kind of approach things with a very delicate angle. Because, I mean, you look at it, there are families out there this year struggling just to buy Christmas presents for their families. And so to see someone like Shawn Michaels up there talking about being broke and whatnot, we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We absolutely don't want to hear it because we're worried about trying to get our family Christmas presents. And we got some multimillionaire talking about being broke.
Yeah, I mean, you heard my story on OTL on Wednesday. Or
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. I'm completely zoned out right now. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yes. Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes! Anyway.
It's WTR. It doesn't feel right without a shameless plug.
Right.
But I told my story there. I mean, you know how close my family came to losing everything. I mean, our tree this year won't have anything under it. That's how close we came.
We may have some things.
No. So I get extraordinarily irritated when something like that comes up. Because it's not, for starters, I don't care if they are going for edge of reality. It's not believable.
It's not even that it's not believable. I don't have, I don't have the problem with the fact that they're trying to go for a touch of reality, a bit edgy. You know what I mean? The problem is that you need to pick and choose when you do it. And right now, right around the holidays, you know what I mean? With what's gone on in the past 2 months with everything, bad choice of timing. Just really bad choice of timing.
The sad thing is, this is so like WWE. I still remember when when Lita cheated on Matt with Edge, and they turned, that was a horrible situation. Matt lost his job over it, which was stupid as hell, and they turned it into a storyline. They made it into public spectacle. And it's an awful, awful thing that happened. I mean, the same thing with, Jeff's drug problems that he's hopefully overcome at this point. His house burning down.
Yes.
They turned it into storyline. Yeah, that's not to be done. It's in bad taste.
Katie Vick, come on.
Oh, God.
How many times?
I'm just referring to real things being turned into storyline, which I have never been in support of.
Right.
God, you had to bring up Katie Vick, didn't you?
I did have to bring up Katie Vick. Well, the Brock says in the chat room, I think he says, would you rather have the basic, this guy feuds with this guy because this guy attacked me storyline? This one actually has a storyline for it. It's not that we want generic storylines, Rock. It's that a better sense of timing, might be useful.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, CS in the chat room just brought up Lita's band.
The Luchagors? Dude, they're horrible. Yeah.
Which, I think that's my cue since this is WTR. Did you hear that Lita was getting a role in the nativity scene this year?
Oh?
Uh-huh.
I did not hear that. How is she getting a role in the nativity scene?
She's opening her legs to play the manger.
That's so bad. Ouch.
I have to get one in there. Again.
Wow.
It doesn't feel right without it.
Wow. Ow.
I think I've damaged Spug somehow.
Little bit.
Okay, you want to go match by match now that I've horrified the new listeners?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes, let's hello people that. In the chat room. CS, Steel, Big Daddy Ace, JTV Dude, and Tonio just popped in, but we all know who he is.
Right. I'm going to have to come on over. I'm going to have to buy some of this stuff.
You're buying stuff now?
Well, kind of. It's topic for another show.
Oh, God.
Well.
Not even going to ask.
I'll talk to you when we get off the air about it.
All right.
So, we made Timmy's Dine quit, so that's awesome. Anyway, so, pay-per-view. Start of the first match. Matt Hardy versus Kozlov.
Now, I didn't even get to watch this match. According to you, Kozlov actually managed a decent match.
Well, he did, and it was a very... It was a very, very slow, methodical match. For starters.
Well, yeah, it has to be for him.
This is not even that. You remember the last pay-per-view match Kozlov was a part of with Triple H? Where it was a very grinded-out style of match. He did it again this match. And he did. And Matt Hardy did sell really well for Kozlov. He did, but I think both of them... And what impressed me the most about it was the fact that it was a clean finish. I mean, it was in the middle of the ring. There was no controversy about it. It was an absolute clean finish. Kozlov went over Hardy. Now, there was... we were over at my wife's friend's house watching the pay-per-view, and there was a bit of a controversy between us as if to... whether or not it was a actual ECW title match or not.
Right.
And I said it was a non-title.
Yeah, they changed it at the last second. They billed it like it was for the championship, all the way up to the ECW taping, and then
right.
on WWE.com started saying, no, non-title.
Non-title.
Which is kind of telling you, hey, Kozlov's going to win.
Yeah. But, if it were for a title, I don't see how, how you still don't put Kozlov over.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to the reason why it was made non-title a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, they're billing Kozlov like a wrecking ball. And
yes.
And that's exactly how you have to play him. You can't put a title on him just yet because he's supposed to look undefeatable for now, which never makes for a good champion. I mean, just aside from being a little too green at the moment.
Right.
I'm still not happy that he doesn't break out the Rocky IV quotes.
I must break you.
I'm sorry, that would make him work so much better.
Mm-hmm. That's because everybody loves Funaki, CS. Everybody loves Funaki.
Kung Funaki.
Funaki, SmackDown number one announcer. Indeed. That's still my favorite quote ever. Anyway, so you didn't get to see much of the first match.
No, I did not.
But you did see the second match.
Uh-huh.
Which was...
Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk for the number one contendership for the IC belt.
And I tell you what, I was surprised that Regal did not get involved out at the outside.
Well, it kind of made sense, but...
Well, it would have made sense for him to get involved.
No, because he was the one that set up the tournament in the first place to pick a suitable challenger, as he stated. He's out to prove himself as this great Intercontinental Champion, so it makes sense for him to go after the best of the best instead of picking who he fights.
But still, you know what I mean? When they were right there next to him, you know what I mean?
Right, it's weird to have a heel that close and just have him sit there and watch.
Right.
I don't know. Regal's playing a much more sophisticated type of heel, though.
I like Regal as a heel. I also like. I just like Regal in general. I mean, honestly.
Even when he was a man's man?
Even when he was the man's man.
Oh, God, that gimmick.
That was such a horrible gimmick.
I'm a lumberjack. Ugh, I remember those vignettes. No, it could have been worse.
Good job, Rock.
Bravo.
This is why we pay you the big bucks. You know, Rock, we heard you Thursday night. Take your microphone up and hop on here real quick.
I know. Usually he can. Usually he's got people around him, I think.
Right. Oh. We wanted to get your thoughts on it. You can be a member of the group for a night.
Now don't chant in the chat room for it. Rock's got his reasons.
Rocky! No, but I mean, overall, I the pairing of Mysterio versus CM Punk, I was excited about to begin with, because when we talked about it Wednesday or Thursday night, I said, oh, cool, two guys who can work well together.
Yeah, those two... They were made to mesh. Those two should be able to work any show-stealing match any night of the week.
Right. I said I was all excited because I'm like, all right, Rey Mysterio, because CM Punk can do the kind of he can do the high flying luchador kind of style. He can also do the really weird Japanese strong style and
right.
make it look real well with Rey's wrestling style, and it worked. And I felt bad for poor Rey at the end of that match.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh,
he was a
man,
mess.
Damn. Because, I mean, we were talking about it. That move has got to be the hardest move to not even to sell, just to land right. I mean, you look at finishers that are out there. You got the FU, which is just a glorified Death Valley driver. You've got the Code Breaker, which is really easy to land.
Yeah.
Without hurting anybody. You've got the Stunner, which is fairly easy to land. You've got the Pedigree, which is a degree of difficulty, yet again, easy to take and land. You know, other ones. German suplexes. There are many, many finishers out there that are very easy to give and take.
Right.
That GTS, however, you are an inch off, and you are busting somebody in the nose, just like we saw tonight.
Right, and it's not even something that either one of them can control. If CM Punk, tosses him just a little too strongly one way, or the other guy doesn't bend the right way, or has enough time to move his head, you know,
yeah.
You see what happened with Ray. And for those who didn't see it, Ray busted his nose bad against Punk's knee.
I think he broke it. I wouldn't be surprised if he broke it. And, I mean, they showed Ray after the match laying on the mat, and Punk went up to him, and you could just see the blood pooling under his mask.
It looks like it splattered out of his nose. It was ugly.
It was gross. And I tell you what, kudos to Punk for raising Ray's hand afterward. And even as a heel, William Regal standing there at ringside clapping for him. I mean, that was a very good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. But like I said, he's playing a much more sophisticated heel. He is actually trying to get the strongest opponent he can because he wants to prove himself as a very strong champion.
Now, I told you this. When I called you after that match. Tonight. And I told you this on the phone, and I'll let our listeners in on it. I tell you what would be an even better match is if he picked both Mysterio and Punk and had a triple threat for the Intercontinental title. Those three in the same ring together would produce probably one of the best matches of the year.
Well, I'm sure it will lead to that eventually. Because the way I understand it, it's done. It is going to be CM Punk. It's not a thing about choice. It is the number one contendership.
Right. But I would really like to see the three of those go at it.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they got to do something with Mysterio. I mean, he's too big. He's way too popular right now to do nothing with. And he doesn't have any feud on the horizon.
Well, they're saying that he's going to get stuck with Mike Knox in the chat room.
Oh, God.
WWE is coming to our chat room. Well, since you're here, WWE, why don't we have a talk? Why don't you go straight to Vince with this? Take the title off of Cena. God! We'll get into that later. And welcome back. Apparently we're good now. Rock's computer decided it didn't like us. Anyway.
It's not used to working Sunday nights anymore.
I know. Anyway, welcome back to WTR. Sorry for that tidbit. But anyway, as I was saying, WWE quit. Awesome.
they came in, they took out Rock, and now they're off again.
Yeah. CS wants to know where we're from. Rock is in Philadelphia. Me, Spud Guy here, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. And Omega is down in Naples, Florida.
I'm warm.
Yeah, fuck you. Hate you. I hate Boston.
You
sorry,
hate
Big
Michigan.
Daddy Ace. It's nothing against you. I just hate the city of Boston. All right, I shouldn't say that. I don't hate the city of Boston. I hate Boston sports fans. That's who I really can't stand. Can't stand Indians. Oh, man. Anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
A little bitter.
It's not that I'm bitter. Don't get me started, because it'll be a 3-hour rant here.
Yeah, I can't stay up that late. Anyway.
Right.
So where were we? Are we... Okay.
Oh, no. Tell me they didn't take that set away. Oh, no. Keep going.
Are we on?
We just finished the Mysterio Punk match.
Meanwhile, and just for the reference, WWE.com currently does not have any photos of said nose injury, which should give you an idea of just what a mess he looked.
Yeah. I didn't think they would have any photos of it.
They do the like black and white thing.
I will say this though. They next came the promo segment.
Oh yeah, we hit on this.
Yeah. Next came the promo segment of the pay-per-view. First there was JBL and Shawn Michaels.
By the way,
which was just absolutely worthless.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading the recap from our good friend Adam Martin at WrestleView.com, our favorite news source for everything in wrestling today.
Right.
Cheap plug number 2.
Yes.
And according to him, there were fans ringside trying to start a Joey Styles chant.
Nice. Nice.
Oh my! I'm gonna have to go watch the pay per view again just so I can hear that.
And then after that, I'm not even gonna get into the JBL Shawn Michaels promo.
We got into it. That was what we kicked this off with.
Then next came the Randy Orton promo, which I didn't hear any of.
Which you really didn't need to hear any of. Listen, think of any Randy Orton promo where he talked about being a third generation superstar and having a legacy of talent to him, and Batista was just hired muscle in Evolution, and except picture coming out of the mouths of Cody Rhodes and Manu, because those two did the entire typical Randy Orton promo for him. Which, for some reason, it was really off-putting. It seemed completely random and almost stalker-ish.
Right.
Like an obsessed fanboy would do, trying to talk for their idol.
Right.
I don't know. I like where that's going. That faction of second and third generation wrestlers. It's a good idea. But
right.
They could be doing a lot better than that.
Right. Then, I believe the Finley match was next.
The Belfast Brawl.
Which I was a big fan of. I thought that was a really good match. I was very impressed because Tony Atlas didn't get involved as much as I thought he would.
Considering it's a hardcore match.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah. I don't. I just don't like the spin they ever put on that. It's a Belfast Brawl. I mean, it's a hardcore match. What, you know? Why is that word just so painful for WWE?
Right. And then, of course, there was the obligatory shillelagh shot. You know, when he handed it to Hornswoggle, I about died laughing because he broke it.
That's the thing that got me. Why? What was the point of Henry breaking the shillelagh over his knee? I mean, it's still a big, heavy wooden thing to bust someone in the head with.
Right.
Ooh, you broke 6 inches off of it.
I was like, holy crap, he broke it! You know?
Well, that was the point. It's for the spot, but I don't know. It was like in a boost of adrenaline type moment where, okay, this isn't going to work. And I just sat there thinking, oh, come on, you know how to swing a rock. Pick it up and swing it at his head.
Yeah.
I just didn't see how that took it out of the equation is all.
Trying to form my next thought. Part of that match, I mean, like, it started as a regular match. It's a normal wrestling match.
Right.
It wasn't even until, like, midway through when Finley went outside and got toys. They didn't even pull out, I mean, you just your normal trash cans and kendo sticks and whatnot.
Christmas presents.
Toys. Things and stuff under the tree. I thought it really would have been better if, like CS said, they had set up a bar, like the old APA barroom brawls.
Oh, right.
And let those two just destroy each other.
See, when I hear the words, like, Belfast Brawl, I get the picture, I get images in my head like TNA does gimmick matches, where they'll throw in plastic props that kind of fit the scene, and it just looks really cheesy and out of place.
Right.
I'd be all in, yeah, Belfast Brawl should take place in a bar, though.
Right!
It just makes sense.
And it was a good match. I mean, overall, I think I give that match about a B. It was a good match. There wasn't a whole lot of outside involvement. Those two beat the crap out of each other. The one that you would have think won the match won the match.
Mm-hmm.
I got to call Eugene tomorrow and see what fiendish insults he sent towards Mark Henry's way after the match.
That's what I was going to say. That's the best part about this match, and we're not going to hear about it for a while.
Yeah, I won't find out about it until like next week.
He got beat by an old man and his midget.
Well, Mark's supposed to be over at Eugene's for Christmas, so maybe I'll go see him.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. He's like, that dude, I tell you what, for as much fun of him as people make, he is probably one of the nicest guys ever.
Right, you've said this.
Yeah, he's really a nice guy. Really a nice guy. And that dude can put down food. me and Eugene and Mark went out to a local restaurant the one day when Mark was in town. It's called Yellowtail now, but it used to be Knees Dynasty. It's a Japanese kind of buffet. It's really good. And we went, and I looked at Eugene. I'm like, I got it. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I got it. He's like, no, really? Are you sure? I'm like, dude, it can't be more than $45-$50. I got it. You know what I mean? I got the bill, and it was $103. I went, what the fuck? I'm like, there's three of us. How is it $103? After seven plates, they charge you another fee, another buffet fee. Mark Henry put down 22 plates of food.
Dear God.
Mm-hmm. All starches and stuff.
Jeez. Jeez. I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
That's the shit I see in cartoons.
I'm like... And he looked at me, he's like, are you sure you got it? And I'm like, yeah, I got it. And Mark Henry, he's like, chill out, little man, I got this. Pulled out his gold card, slapped it down. I'm like, we're taking you out to lunch. He's like, dude, I ain't going to make you pay for my fat ass. I'm like, all right.
Oh, man.
He's really a cool guy.
Yeah, you just made me a Mark Henry fan of that one.
He's a good guy. Yeah, like, I was going to bring Madison over to meet him the one time, and oh, he's like, He's like, it's not such a good idea. I'm like, why not? You don't like kids? He's like, no, kids seem to have a problem with me. I'm like, I can see this very well, sir. We will not bring the child over. So, I mean, like, he's cool. He's a nice guy. It was a good match. I was impressed. I'm hoping to go see Eugene and Mark over Christmas. But, then there's a commercial break after that, right?
Yeah, tribute to the troops, and they had one of their,
the Rumble commercial.
They had a segment backstage.
I didn't even see it.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's, all the
divas. It was with Haas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the
Santa Haas.
Yeah, it was Santa Haas. I didn't even watch it. I turned my head because the boogeyman popped up.
Oh,
and it's
man,
not that
you,
I'm afraid. It's not that I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. It's that the worms make me queasy.
Well, he didn't bring out the worms, and you missed the best part.
Gold dust under the mistletoe, I heard. I heard. I will have to go watch that on YouTube, but, like, literally, when he comes up with the worms in his mouth.
Here's the weird thing. Remember what we brought up on OTL?
Which was?
This Thursday, the promo you like with Heidenreich and Snitsky.
Oh my god, yes!
I got the same damn vibe, because these two were staring each other down. You know they're the biggest freaks in the locker room, and all of a sudden they're going, Merry Christmas! And Boogeyman's handing him presents, and they're starting caroling. And like
those
real
two need to be a tag team.
You
know, I'm telling you, the Heidenreich Snitsky promo is the greatest one ever.
I
like your poetry. I like
what you do to babies.
Yes.
I told someone after that promo they should grab Kyle Lee and form the New Oddities.
They should. If we're going to get back into factions, you need a couple, because you need some to offset. I mean, if you've got the ultra heel one, you kind of need, like, the ultra face. They're too retarded to do anything wrong. Like Boogeyman and Goldust and Kali. Speaking of Kali, in this perfect segue, thank you. Leads right into the next match.
See how good I am?
Yes, it was the Devil... It was the Diva 8 woman tag match.
Santa's little helper match.
Yes.
Which looked like a fucking football game. Reds on this side, greens on this side.
Which, I mean, I tell you what, Natty Neidhart looks like her dad. She is built like her dad. She really is. And I kept thinking she was going to fall out of her top, which I really would not have been upset about.
Oh, yeah.
And Mickie James.
I was going to say, you sound so upset.
Mickie James, hottie.
Of course.
You know my feelings about Mickie James.
And
Maria,
yeah,
hottie.
Keep them to yourself.
Right. Maria, hottie.
And you said it over the phone, WWE's picking up a little too much TNA lately.
Indeed they are. Because yeah, Michelle McCool came in and cracked that Styles Clash right quick.
Yeah. Needs a little work getting it hooked on to.
Right.
Nice execution after that. She did the roll up and everything.
Well,
yeah, it's like spot on for AJ Styles.
And I think they're trying to turn Michelle McCool heel because, she came in.
Yeah, she tagged herself in.
She tagged herself in, you know, got the pin, and then bolted.
Right.
And like we said before the match, or before we got into this, there were four women. There were four women in that match that knew how to wrestle. And it's a shame that they didn't get to wrestle the entire time.
Yeah. Luckily, it was two on each side, so it kind of balanced out. There's usually someone in the ring that could carry someone that wasn't exactly a wrestler.
And it's not to say that there weren't blown spots, because that happens with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But, I've not seen Natty Neidhart wrestle in WWE until tonight.
Jeez, I was going to say, speaking of blown spots, how about another Lita joke?
Yes. But, I mean, it was a good match. Most people consider it the piss break match.
Well, yeah, all WWE seems like every other pay-per-view has this, let's see how many tits we can get in the middle of the ring at the same time kind of match. Which is pointless when, you know, only half of your divas can wrestle to begin with.
Right, but the entertainment of the match didn't come till the end.
Right. Because we mentioned the great Kali.
We did mention the great Kali. Now, Kali came out at the end.
Yeah, he came out for the kiss cam. They missed. The whole point of that encounter, though, was that Maria almost became a victim of the segment that she created in the first place.
Almost!
Yeah, Kali was the one who stole it from her.
Almost! She almost became a victim. Yet, there was someone to save the day. Santa's eldest helper, if you will. Mae Young. And I told you this on the phone. Mae Young's just cute. You know what I mean? Not in the, oh, she's pretty cute sense, but she comes out and she does all the stuff that you're like, why do you do that? And she's always grinning, always having a good time, always laughing with it. And it's just funny to watch her. It really is. I mean, she did the kiss cam, and I when she jumped up onto Kali, I thought her panties were going to split, and then I was going to have to die. So, I mean, it's always funny. I enjoy the Mae Young bits when they do them. I just felt bad that Moolah wasn't there last year to induct her into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, coming up next, we've got the Big Three. I can't remember the Big Three matches for the night. I just know the two title matches.
Yeah, it's the Big Two, actually. Rock miscounted.
Yeah, Big Two. Big Two are coming up next. Two title matches. We're going to take a break real quick on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Wrestle Talk Radio. I'm Spug. That's Omega. We'll be back right after these messages.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans, are you looking for a show that is wholesome, a show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly, and a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with sharp shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Dustin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Us, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Wild Talk Radio Network brings you a great enhancement for your internet browsing experience, the WTR Network Internet Toolbar. It's free, it's handy, it's very useful. The built-in toolbar incorporates the world's biggest default search engine, Google, so you can be sure your searches turn up the results you would expect. Not a Google fan? Switch your search engines to ExactSeek. Our toolbar is loaded with features and extras. A weather tracker, built-in radio, lots of gadgets with games and info. And it's fully customizable. The WTR toolbar has no spyware, no malware, won't automatically reset your homepage or personal settings. In addition, we have incorporated a scrolling ticker for alerts and updates. Plus, you can contact and reply to messages and updates through the message center. Add any RSS feed you want as well. The toolbar also has a built-in pop-up blocker that is more than just on or off. Get the WTR toolbar today. It's 100% free and a great enhancement to your web browsing experience.
Passionate. Jackass. Knowledgeable.
Doesn't my brilliance astound you?
Entertaining.
A witness to greatness.
All words that describe the man known by two little letters, TK. Every Tuesday night, the internet airwaves will never be the same again. When TK begins his tirade, live from Scorchers in Medina. Covering everything from Cleveland Browns football to the Ohio State Buckeyes and everything else going on in the world of sports. Join TK for his tirade, starting 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio. I'm this Bug Guy, that's Omega, here in the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're getting into the big three now here in the pay-per-view. We got Randy Orton versus Batista, The World Heavyweight title match with Jericho and John Cena, and the Triple Threat WWE title match with Edge, Jeff Hardy, and Triple H.
Yeah, forgot your man crush for a second.
No, I didn't. I was looking at something. I really need to stop.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, no, like, I'll tell you later. I'm going through one of my favorite Warhammer websites, and it's catching my attention. So.
Pull your pants up. Focus.
Not looking at pictures of Triple H. Pants aren't down. Anyway, so we had... I didn't watch. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch the Randy Orton Batista match. I know Batista won. I know there was interference in it, but I didn't watch the match, so I can't give a good opinion on it. I really can't.
If they're really trying to work something between Cody Rhodes, Manu, Randy Orton, and I presume Ted DiBiase Jr. when he comes back from filming a movie. If they're honestly trying to do something and make them kind of a faction, they've done a really piss-poor job, because all three of them failing to beat Batista just makes them look really weak.
Well, here's the thing. You need to have a good faction to offset what they're doing.
Well,
if you're gonna do a faction, you've got to have something to offset it.
I don't think you need an actual faction to battle off the faction, but you do need a focal point to kick it off. And Batista is a good one for that because of the history with Evolution and the fact that, you know, they're both warring for, okay, who was the better one, the Hired Muscle or the Prodigy? And it's... You know, like I said, you had Manu and Cody Rhodes interfering every time Batista went to the outside. You had Randy Orton, who usually gets the short end of the stick on a pay-per-view to begin with. If they're honestly trying to work something here, I don't see how they could do anything, how anything comes of this if the first time that they're united, they lose. They can't beat one guy.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to have a war between the four of them to see who really is the best. You know what I mean? And that's where it's kind of funny, because then you can look at other people involved, and you can look at other people in the WWE that could get involved. You've got Dustin Reynolds. You've got Carlito and his brother. You've got
D.H. Smith.
You've got D.H. Smith, Natty Neidhart.
Yeah, Natty Neidhart as well.
Who else? I mean, who else is there that could get involved?
Jeez. I don't know. WWE doesn't have as many second generations now. They're trying to bring up a whole fresh batch these days.
Umaga, I believe, is second or third.
I
forget who his dad is.
He's in the Yokozuna family line. You know, they're all related at some point.
Oh. Isn't Umaga's related to The Rock?
Yeah, and The Rock is related to Yokozuna, like I said. It's all thinly connected, but it is connected.
Yeah. Umaga's brother is Rikishi, so I thought Umaga was related to The Rock and Sama. Not like Osama. And Sama. So. Fatu was born in American Samoa, a member of the famous Anoa wrestling family. His mother Vera is sister of Afa and Sika of the Wild Samoans, and his later Umaga gimmick would be compared to their wildness. Okay, so he is the nephew of Afa. Yeah, Umaga used to be Jamal.
Yeah, so that makes him. Yeah, so that makes him cousins with Manu.
Yes.
Huh. More family in WWE.
It's still cool how all the American Samoan wrestlers are all.
Yeah, they all tie together somehow.
It usually comes from Afa and Sika. It does.
Yeah, usually.
Afa's a good guy, too.
Yeah, it's like 6 degrees of Afa and Sika.
I got to do a training course under Afa with my buddy Ray, who used to wrestle in Cleveland.
Nice.
Yeah, Afa, dude, that dude's hard. I mean, like, we're doing, we were running the ropes. You've seen them where they do the crisscross in the ring. You know, where one hits north-south ropes and one hits the east-west ropes.
Right.
We're doing that, and he's blowing the whistle, and you started by walking. And you'd start by walking, you would hit, and you'd walk back, and you had to get your time. It was all about getting timing and coordination and learning to hit the ropes so you didn't hurt yourself. Because if you hit the ropes wrong, that middle rope would hit your kidneys and bruise your kidney.
Yeah, that's not very good.
Yeah. So every time he blew the whistle, you were supposed to go a step faster and a step faster. He had it till we were doing wind sprints across the ring. It was rough. Man, it was rough. Just like Lita likes it.
Number three.
There you go. But I really didn't pay attention to this match. But and they're failing.
They're failing
to build the storyline that they want to build.
Yeah, it was a thin storyline to begin with. They have so much history with Evolution, but it seems like they've already capitalized on that before. And now they're trying to rehash the same thing for an exact same storyline, except, you know, like I said, Manu and Cody Rhodes just happened to be there at the time.
Listen here, fatty. Even as a smoker, I could beat you in a 40-yard dash any day. So...
Yeah, I didn't pay much. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't pay much attention to the match either because I had food thrust under my nose.
You were eating. I was getting beaten up by my kid. And the one match of the pay per view that I wish that I wish I wouldn't have seen, but I did see, was John Cena and Chris Jericho.
Because
I can't stand John Cena. Absolutely can't stand him. If he died in a fire tomorrow,
I would
be sad for the fact that a human life was lost, but I really wouldn't care. I didn't wish death on the man. I never wish death on the man.
Oh man, that's a little harsh.
I never wish death on anybody.
I give Cena respect for this. He really is passionate about the business. He really is.
No one's questioning that. No one's questioning that. And
but
listen.
But
go ahead.
You're right. His personality in the ring, his gimmicks, and more importantly, his wrestling style is all still very green and sloppy, and he's never done anything to improve a damn bit of it.
How is this gimmick priceless? It's the same face gimmick anybody else who sold 1 cent of merch has ever done. Embrace the fans, do a stupid little hand signal, collect your check, and go home.
Yeah, he doesn't have a gimmick.
He has no gimmick. He used to have a gimmick, and they took it away from him.
He gets in the ring, he raises the belt a few times, he says exactly what the fans want to hear, and then he leaves. That's not a gimmick.
He's a great entertainer. I agree. They need to give him the microphone back. They need to give him the ability to speak back. Quit trying to cater to the 6-year-old sitting there with mommy and daddy.
You know, unfortunately, he's one of the things in WWE that makes them a ton of money. So, unfortunately, they're not going to listen to that.
I know.
But he's got absolutely no credibility as a wrestler. Not a bit.
He never had it. That's the thing.
He had it early on when he had the excuse of being a rookie. And even then, he actually had the gimmick that worked for him. But now he's wrestling the exact same style he did when he came in and tried to wrestle Kurt Angle. He has not changed. He has not grown. All of his moves are really dumbed down finishers. I mean, I refuse to call... Cena. I refuse to call it the STFU.
It's a modified STF.
Yeah, and there's not a damn thing special about it.
And the one that drives me insane. You know where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
The FU.
God. It's gravity.
It's Death Valley. It's a Death Valley driver. It's what it is. Falling, it's a Death Valley driver.
Falling backwards off the turnbuckle has the same amount of impact.
No, it's not a good move for him. You know what's a good move for Cena? Cena could easily pull off a modified black hole slam. Or a variation of the F5.
Yeah. Look at how much they make of Cena's strength. I mean, we've seen him give the FU to the Big Show.
Big Show.
Now, yeah. Now, that was when he was a legitimate 500 pounds. And they don't do anything with that kind of power. He should be able to deliver power moves that nobody his size has any business doing. And it should look really impressive when he does it.
Big Daddy Ace brings up the TKO. Yes, a neck breaker. A fall-away neck breaker. That's a really good finisher.
Yeah, that would work for him.
Let's look at the long list of people that have done the TKO. Randy Orton, Stone Cold Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Diamond Dallas Page. Let's look at all the people that have done that fucking move. Come on, dude. You can think of something a little more original than that.
I don't mean to interject. I'm sorry. They were chanting my name. I had to.
Are chanting our name. Rock and sock. Rock and sock. Rock.
Here we are.
But the FU is more of an intense fireman's carry slam than anything.
Death Valley driver.
No, it's not even a Death Valley driver.
It's more of a fireman's carry slam.
Yeah,
just lifted
it's
up
still
there.
A BS move.
Oh, I know that. That was my opinion. I feel like throwing that in there. That's all.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, thank you, Rock. Now, if he had, I remember Mark Merrow doing a move he called the TKO, which actually looked like an impressive finisher. That one might work for Cena. But if you're just talking about a lame-ass ace crusher, then fuck no.
Cena would look good doing the Emerald Driver.
Oh, yeah.
He really would. The Emerald Driver is an awesome finisher.
I think that... It doesn't matter what wrestling game I put in the PlayStation, that's my finisher.
The Emerald Driver?
Every time.
It's an awesome, awesome finisher.
Yeah. And it would work. You're right. It would look really impressive with Cena.
Cena in the match itself with Jericho wasn't a bad match.
Yeah. I mean, there are a ton of counters in the match. I love that. I love it when they play
the counters
up. The
Mexican stretch buster? You know what that is? That's the muscle buster. Samoa Joe does it. I've tried to do that. It's really hard to steady somebody.
Yeah, you got absolutely no balance. I mean, it's not just the person's weight all bearing down on their neck that's pinned against your shoulder. You have to squeeze them down to keep them steady.
It's shoulder to shoulder is how it's supposed to be.
Still, it doesn't look like a fun ride.
Yeah. But, I mean, really, it's... And speaking of wrestler, Tim, I've got a story for the end of the night. I went to an indie show last night. Went to my old stomping ground. last night. Yes, they are. They are canceling the 2009 season because of monetary.
Anyway.
Where's CS from that he knows the Cleveland Plain Dealer? But anyway, I mean, okay. The match itself wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad. And
here
it had its ebbs and flows, and the submission exchange at the end was pretty good.
Are you kidding me?
It really was, because I'm a fan of submission wrestling.
So am I, but oh my god. This is where I get pissed off with how they play up Cena. He was in that Boston Crab. Again, it's not the Walls of Jericho, and it damn sure ain't the Lion Tamer.
No, because he doesn't put his knee in the back anymore.
Yeah, which is the whole point of the move. It made it look twice as painful.
Yeah.
It's a Boston Crab.
Right.
He was in that move for a solid minute, and technically this is the move he's used for the last 15 years that have won championships. And Cena's in this move a solid minute, and not only does he counter it, he powers out of it pretty damn easily. And not only does he power out of it easily, he goes right into the SDF, and Jericho taps in 2 seconds!
Well, here's the thing, and this just doesn't even involve Cena or Jericho. It goes to a wider problem. None of the younger guys want to sell anymore. Look at the Matt Hardy Kozlov match, or look at what was another good one. Triple H Kozlov from Survivor Series. They picked a limb and they worked it. And worked it for a good 5 to 8 minutes of the match. I mean, you look at the Kozlov-Hardy match. Hardy worked on Kozlov's legs like you wouldn't believe. And Kozlov, in turn, worked Hardy's abdomen and shoulders. The Survivor Series. Yes, exactly. Exactly, Tim. Ring psychology is a lost art.
Yes.
It is a lost art. And I tell you what, and I feel bad that the guy has turned out the way he has, but one of the perfectionists at it was Jake the Snake Roberts. Absolute master. Absolute master at ring psychology. And someone else who's not even in the WWE had a good ring psychology about him until they made him go absolutely crazy with his storyline in Muhammad Hassan. That guy knew what he was doing.
I still wish they'd bring him back. I mean, I know it's politically incorrect as hell, even if you worked him with a different gimmick, but he was a great worker.
He was, but the moment they went to the radical extremist end of it was just wrong.
Yeah, WWE being entirely too tasteless.
Well, right now, Tim, that's currently in the WWE, or of all time? Oh, God, dude. That's putting me on the spot. Give me top five. Number one, I got to go with Jake the Snake. There was nobody that did it any better than him. Number two, I would have to say Chris Benoit. Number three, Ric Flair. Number four, Dusty Rhodes. And number five, probably Mark Calloway.
Well, he's done psychology his entire career.
DiBiase's in the top. I would put DiBiase in the top 10. You could kind of interchange six and five and six there, Tim, between DiBiase and Callaway.
Big surprise! I mean, big surprise. A Canadian picked three Canadians.
Yes, Flair is in the top five. Flair definitely is in the top five, especially in the early days of his career. Oh, don't give me that Canuck.
Oh, here we go.
Don't give me that. Tim just hates Flair. That's what it is. The Hart brothers are in the top ten, absolutely. But you do hate Flair. Didn't come from Calgary, it ain't shit. That's your opinion.
By the way,
that's the air that you give off.
By the way, Tim, when the crowd was chanting sellout to HBK tonight, was Canada cheering in Rejoice? I thought I could hear it.
Well, they were in Buffalo, which is right near Canada. So there you go.
Well, this is true. They are. We're trying to give them back to Canada. Unfortunately, Canada doesn't want them because they're too poor and they're about to lose their football team. Anyway. But Cena won the match, retained the title, which I really think he should have. And I have a big problem with the fact that they put the title on him at Survivor Series the moment he came back.
Oh, God. If you're coming back, you should have to work your way back up.
Indeed.
It's not even just to make sense of it. I mean, I know he's a big star and you want to put him right back into contention, but right. These are people who just came off of injury. Mm-hmm. You don't know, between ring rust and possible re-injury, you have no idea what to expect from someone like that.
Look at all, perfect example is Austin. How many times would Austin come back at a pay-per-view, get a big title push over the next month, and then re-aggravate or re-injure something and be out for another 6 to 8 months?
Or Kurt Angle. Who still does that, by the way. Every time he's injured, they push him every time he gets injured, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm trying to avoid that.
No, they weren't much more serious than Cena's. What did Cena have this time? A broken pussy? Did they have to go in and suck the sand out of his badge? That's a horrible injury. God.
I hope they didn't take footage of that surgery.
I mean, Cena had what, a compressed vertebrae or something?
I thought so. He busted his neck.
I thought he had fucked it up. I thought he fucked up his neck.
He fucked up his neck because they were taking a big deal about, the same day of the surgery, he came in to visit everyone backstage at Raw. It's like, that's the second dumbest thing you've ever done in your life, Cena.
And no, TK, Owen Hart didn't fuck Stone Cold. Stone Cold took the move wrong. And Jesus. TK, get Stone Cold's cock out of your mouth. For real. I have read the book, moron. God. By the way, what are you going to bitch about this week? What do I get to tune in and listen to on Tuesday night during your tirade? Do I get to listen to you pick the sand out of your vag about the Buckeyes again? Or the Browns? Who are going to get killed on Monday night?
What's with the sandstorm tonight, Spug?
I don't know. Apparently a lot of people are in Sahara Desert with open vaginas. But anyway, yeah, you know... And Tim, I have to make a modification to my list. I'm going to take Callaway off of it, put him in the top 20, and interject somebody in the top five that I completely forgot about till about 2 minutes ago. Mr. Perfect.
Oh. There you go.
And that's not one you can argue with, Tim. No, but you gotta... Psychology of the Lost Art. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is a lost art. But then we had the big one. Main event of the night. And we will review that coming up after these words on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio live. I'm the Spud Guy. That's Omega. Catch you in a few.
From geeks to gamers, and everyone in between, there is only one radio show that covers it all. That's every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Okok Talk Live with the Spud Guy.
Follow me down the yellow brick road, if you will. You can be the Tin Man, I'll be the Scarecrow. Actually, I'm fat, I'll be the Lion.
Omega.
Yes, I put together a list of things to keep in mind and things to be aware of before you set out on this rather frightening experience.
At stage.
We're talking about video games. That's my particular field of expertise and my addiction. Hopefully that'll be my only addiction because I'm on a highly addictive drug right now that I'm not going to become addicted to. Might as well call me house for the night. I haven't shaved in 5 days, and I've got a gimp left leg. Prescription to Vicodin, and I'm a smartass, so I pretty much sum it up, all except for not having a TV show.
Covering everything geek, from movies, to video games, to anime, to even some unusual conversations.
Cat girls and dog men and whatever they come up with, anthropomorphic characters.
And unfortunately, the term furry doesn't apply to the fact that they're fans of anthropomorphic. It applies more to the sexual nature. Dude, there are even conventions strictly paying homage to furry.
Listen live on OTL as Spud has an aneurysm live on the air.
You see, when a mommy animal loves dead animal.
And that's how squirrels with long ears are born.
Right.
It's Otaku Talk Live. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Central, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Log on to wildtalkradio.com for more information. And as always, on Okoku Talk Live, it's okay to scream.
What for the blood god?
Ever wondered what happens when you lose a bet on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Stone Cold. I can see the byproduct of your semen when I look to the right and look at Cerny.
What?
Ugly motherfucker. You and him.
What?
You bald, small dick, piece of crap.
What?
I swear to God, that stunner's the most ridiculous-looking finishing move I've ever seen.
What?
Who thought about kicking somebody in the balls and then pulling them down by their neck? Wow, you are a jackass.
What?
I can't stand you. I can't stand when you come on and start talking about beer and asking what. I've heard what 5 million times. I don't need to hear it again. If I hear what again, I'm probably going to commit suicide.
What?
All your material is old. It's all reused. It's all washed up. You were good for maybe 6 months, and then it got old.
What?
And that's actually true, by the way. It got old after a long, long time.
Keep going.
You suck. I can't stand your music. I can't stand your in-ring persona. Your promos are just god-awful. You say the same things every time, just in a different way.
What?
I hate you. I'm really trying here, fuck, I am.
What?
I cannot believe I ever pledged my allegiance to someone like you when I could have listened and rooted for someone more charismatic like The Rock.
What?
Or Owen Hart.
What?
Or Vince McMahon.
What?
But no, I chose you. Why? So you could go away with a broken neck injury and be out for 2 straight years? Came back after a year and then left again?
What?
You always get my hopes up that you were going to win the title, so you were going to be somebody I could follow.
What?
But no, you couldn't stay healthy, you frickin' no-talent hack.
What?
Nobody likes you.
What?
Just go away. You could die in a fiery mudslide. The Condemned was probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
What?
You went and you killed 9 people and then...
And you're done.
Thank you. Are you happy?
What?
Tune in for more moments just like this each week on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control, if you can take it, all about your stand, if you can play it, it's all about pain, and who's gonna make it?
And now back to some more Wrestle Talk Radio, where even if he's not on the show, the Canadian's always right. Now here's the Spud Guy and Omega.
I love it. I love it when he interjects like that. I do. Awesome.
They're short appearances, but he makes the most of them.
He does. Talk about picking your spots. But I tell you what, welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio. I'm the Spud Guy, that's Omega, and the voice that you heard was that of Rockin' Sock. I'm
the producer.
Yes, people were calling his name. Absolutely calling for him. Of course, now he fails to pull up the sound clip.
Yeah, anyway. they always chant my name, Spud.
Do they always chant your name?
Yeah, they always chant my name.
See, there goes. The crowd's going wild. Awesome. But anyway, we are at the main event of the evening. The WWE title match, Jeff Hardy versus Edge,
mm-hmm.
versus my husband, or the greatest wrestler alive, Triple H. So.
One of your still employed man crushes.
Yes! Kasnitsky got fired.
They missed such an opportunity. They should have put him with Mike Knox.
Yes, Big Daddy Ace, my husband. He doesn't know it yet, but he is my husband.
Oh, God.
We're going to San Francisco.
No, it's not legal in California anymore.
I tell you, Big Daddy Ace and Steel haven't been around long enough to know how long that how long the joke's been going on. Triple H is a fantastic wrestler, and if it weren't for Triple H, TK, yes, Austin, dude, never mind. Anyway, on to the main event, and I wanted to say this. Mm-hmm. With the Styles clash earlier.
Right.
How much more does WWE have to copy off of TNA? I mean, you look at the ring introduction styles, the Japanese style of introduction. I mean, you had ROH and TNA that did it for a long time, and now WWE is starting to copy it.
No, see, I don't totally agree with that, because I've seen WWE do that a lot. And they generally reserve it for really big matches, but you have...
Right, I mean, it's only the title matches that they do it, but
yeah,
still.
It's usually just for the main event of a pay-per-view, and usually only for a really big main event. And you had three top-tier wrestlers in the same match. I think it'd qualify. What made it strange was that usually when we hear it, it's a Raw main event, because usually Triple H is involved. This is the first time they did it for SmackDown. So you've got SmackDown's announcer doing it. It's a lot more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's that, you know, they're just copying TNA. I mean, just every now and then they feel the need to build up something a lot bigger. And, you know, and usually it is for those. Usually when they do that, you know, the next night on Raw they're going to have some big montage of the match with that big dramatic introduction, starting it off, because that is the history making moment being relived.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, yeah, it's rare when they do it, but usually when they do it, you know something big's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow, they don't even have his latest. Wow, and no, TK. Stone Cold couldn't hold. Stone Cold couldn't even hold Triple H's jock. All I need to do is point at the title history. Anyway.
You can point at the medical history, too.
Right. Well, he has had a couple of major injuries.
Okay, a couple quads. I don't think that... Yeah, okay, it's a couple quads versus a couple vertebrae. And a couple knees.
Well, look who's still wrestling.
There you go. Who's employed right now?
And, I mean, if you want to talk about holding jocks on a rest record, then Austin's got Triple H, because I don't think Triple H has ever beaten his wife.
No, not when your wife is the boss's daughter. No, he doesn't.
Again, he brought in more. He brought in more money than Triple H back in the day, but he doesn't now.
No, he'll look at the box office for The Condemned.
Exactly. Poor man's remake of The Running Man, dude. Weesh.
It doesn't work without Richard Dawson. I keep telling him this.
Schwarzenegger did it better. All in all, the main event wasn't too bad. I thought Triple H was going to tear his quad again when they were up on the...
Oh, man.
When they were up on the tables, he went to jump off and jumped onto the chair and fell off.
This is another match with a lot of reversals in it, and I really like that exchange on top of the tables.
I did. I really wish they would have gone through all three, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. The one spot was enough. I don't think you need to overkill it. I mean, they did plenty in that match.
I think you could have done two.
There was one spot in that match where it looked like Hardy was trying for the whisper in the wind, and it looked like he botched it.
Was that the one? Oh, excuse me. Was that the one with Edge up on
Triple H's shoulders? Yeah, that's what they followed it with.
I don't think he botched it. I don't think it was a botch. I just think it was kind of a miss.
Oh no,
not so much a botch.
I almost like how it was set up because it looked like a botch. It looked like he honestly missed. Then you see Triple H setting up Edge, and you're like, oh shit.
Right. And I have to say, a botch would have been CM Punk at an old ROH show doing the GTS,
mm-hmm.
where he completely missed the dude's head.
Did he do that?
Yeah, he had the guy up on his shoulders, and he actually used to do the move from time to time in ROH, and he had the guy up on his shoulders and pushed him up and threw him up into the air, went to bring the knee up to hit it, because back then he didn't use it as a finisher, he used it as a setup. He threw the guy up and went to bring the knee up, and when he brought the knee up, he threw the guy too far forward, and the guy totally missed his knee and face planted right onto the ground.
Oh, I've got one better. My favorite botch of all time, and this is—I used to have an animated image of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was TNA. Scott Steiner is about to plow Christian Cage's head into the steel post.
Oh my God! Was it when Christian totally missed the post, or
no?
I think
no.
I remember I remember what you're talking about.
Okay, so Steiner's got his hands on Christian's head, and Christian throws his head into the post. You know, hands up, blocking it, bounces off. The problem with the spot is Steiner's hands did not move the whole time.
I know.
So he flung himself out of Steiner's very loose grip just to whack himself into the steel pole.
Anyway.
And it wasn't even one of those off to the side bumps. The camera was facing it the whole time.
And, I mean, you talk about all the reversals and back-and-forth exchanges in the match. The thing I liked about it was each set of combatants got their own spotlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but,
You had a time when it was Triple H and Edge going at it, and then it was Edge and Hardy, and then it was Hardy and Triple H, and then it was, you know what I mean?
I don't know. It seemed like the majority of the match was Hardy and Triple H. I mean, Edge was mostly just taking bumps most of the match. And he got in his spots, but for the most part, he was taking most of the punishment.
But I mean, for the most part, it was back and forth between the three of them.
Right.
And it was a good, and what surprised me is even though it was a triple threat, and you don't really expect clean finishes out of a triple threat,
mm-hmm.
it was a good clean finish.
Yeah, even though we had interference, we had a run in from Kozlov.
You know what, Steel? This is just me. This is just me being a bit of a conspiracy theorist. What if it was Christian who beat up Hardy, quotation marks, in the hotel room?
That's probably why they're playing it up this way.
That's why they gave you the other choice on the poll. Other.
I saw the poll, but I mean, what if it was Christian who beat up Hardy and therefore sparks a feud? And that would actually be a really good feud.
Yeah, it would.
They need to let Christian talk, though.
They need to let Christian be Christian.
Christian.
I mean, last time we saw him in the WWE, he was over as hell on Raw, but not because they were pushing him or giving him any mic time. He was winning respect in the ring, which is how you're supposed to do it. It's how the big stars are supposed to build themselves. And rather than capitalize on it, hey, let's send him to SmackDown and completely screw his character up.
Right.
Ugh. And it makes me sick to my stomach when they waste someone like that, who's honestly over, who's honestly really talented, and for apparently no reason.
If Edge and Christian reunite, then you have to reunite the Hardys, and you have to have another tag match, because that's what it is, right there.
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay,
could
we
you
both
see that, though? I mean, with ECW's touring with Raw right now, right?
Uh-huh.
Could you see a scenario where Matt either leaves ECW or gets moved to SmackDown if Christian comes back, and Edge and Christian reunite? And could you see that if the Hardys hooked back up and those two teams went warring again?
Jeez. What do you... Okay. that's rehashing the Attitude Era again, though it would be really cool since all of them... Okay. Here's the cool part to that match. The last time we got to see that, there were no world champions involved. Now
right.
All of them have been.
Yes.
And that's what I was going to bring up. As soon as I saw the Kozlov match was non-title,
mm-hmm.
that's when I had picked Jeff Hardy. Cause you know WWE as well as I do. You know they would not resist the chance to put the Hardy Boys back together for a little while as world champions. They would not miss that booking for anything. I mean, I don't think it'll take any longer than Monday Night Raw. They'll probably throw some special event together just to do that. It wouldn't surprise me.
I was going to think, like, not this Friday, next Friday, give them 1 week to promote it.
They'd have to hype it.
It
does need hype, and they need to build up someone else, because Kozlov is like a must-have for the match, and you'd need to throw someone else in, maybe Edge.
Maybe. Or maybe you bring back Christian at the tapings.
That's a little too sudden. I mean, as far as we know, he hasn't even signed a contract yet.
That's true, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done it already and just been really good at hiding it for a while.
Tim is reporting that he was backstage, so.
How the hell would the Canuck know?
Because he's a Canuck, and he apparently knows everything. Fucked hard.
I'll believe it when I hear it from Adam Martin.
Right.
I haven't heard it yet. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, so Fat Girls with Body Paint are celebrating everywhere tonight.
I know, and you know what's so sad?
What?
As my wife's friend Rochelle, who she works with, mm-hmm. is a really, really nice woman. Really nice girl. But the moment I met Rochelle, like, my wife's talking about how she's a Jeff Hardy fan, she's a Hardy Boy fan, and yada yada, and I looked at my wife and I went, is she fat? I'd never met Rochelle in my entire life. And my wife just gave me this god-awful look, and I went, oh. And Rochelle is not, like, fat, but she's a big girl. And I went... It's just like too stereotypical funny. I went, oh, damn.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, we've heard that joke way too many times. I don't know. I love when things like that kind of play up to be quite true.
But Rochelle's a really nice girl. She really is. We go over to her house for all the pay-per-views, so.
Yeah, so that's where you were today while we were all waiting on you.
Yes! And in the end, if you haven't guessed it from the picture yet, Jeff Hardy did win the WWE title tonight.
Yeah, which they've spent months torturing the guy. I mean, between all the false pushes and all the championship matches he's had lately, it seemed like did you see the story about MVP?
Yeah, with the losing streak and everything?
Yes, supposedly it's to prevent something like Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar, where there's someone they really want to build up, but they don't want to do it too quickly and have them drop out. So they're kind of pushing him to see...
Well, Lashley was never meant to be a wrestler anyway. I hate to say it. As much as I liked Lashley, he was the black Brock Lesnar.
You couldn't just say Black Lesnar like everyone else does?
No. I couldn't. If you got a problem with that, buddy, bite me.
Anyway. No, but it gave me the same kind of vibe. You know, like, it seems like they've been teasing and kind of goading Jeff Hardy for months now. I mean, for months he's been booked this way. And it almost seemed like they were testing him to see if he'd hit some kind of breaking point. And the whole time I'm going, just fucking give it to him. The man just lost his house this year. Throw him a fucking bone. Sheesh, are you busy over there?
No, I'm taking care of an internet girlfriend. I haven't been on my Yahoo name in like a week because I've been in my basement working on a couple of figures I was hired to paint by my buddy.
Right.
And so she freaked out. I thought I was mad, wasn't going to talk to her or anything. And so now I'm like, you know,
one of those.
It's like you're having a conversation with a girlfriend like, no, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at you at all. It's like I have a life.
Yeah, I've been there. You're just getting slow to respond. With only two of us on the air here, it just kind of makes it a little hard.
Anyway. But, you know... You know, I will say this, though. Jeff, for all that Jeff has been through, and not just in the past year, you look at the drug addiction, the rehab, right. Going to TNA, mm-hmm. His success and his downfall in WWE and in wrestling in general, and then the rise back up again, it's long overdue that he won the title.
Yeah.
Long, long overdue.
Which that reminds me, for someone we know so much about, why are they still trying to promote this Enigma character of his? Hey, there's not many people in the WWE who have had their personal lives that focused on in storyline. And it's all for the sake of recycling TNA's catch line for him. Again, TNA copying.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of now, TNA, I will say this.
I heard Rock for a second.
I was trying to jump in there. Speaking of TNA things, unlike TNA, they gave Jeff Hardy the celebration. TNA would cut right to the back or cut off the pay-per-view. They let him soak in the moment on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad they did.
So am I. I thought that was a really touching moment to really put home. It was a big victory for him.
Well, and not just that. If you recall, he won the match and they let him celebrate for about 45 seconds to a minute and a half, and they showed the little icon at the bottom of the screen.
Right.
And camera started to fade out, and then all of a sudden it cut to another camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if Vince or somebody in the back said, keep it rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they must have. And then he got to the top of the set, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, going off air with him on top of the set, I'm like, he has to climb something. He just can't leave it alone.
It's not Jeff Hardy unless he's more than 20 feet in the air.
Exactly.
Right, and I tell you what, I wish Matt would have come out.
No, they're saving that. They want the moment all to itself, where the two brothers with world championships finally come together again.
Right, but I get that.
Listen, I think the whole point was Kozlov came off and attacked Triple H, which I have no idea why. I mean, for like a month, Kozlov's going. It's not even a month. It's like three weeks or less where he's been after Matt. Where he goes from being after Triple H to being all about going after Matt Hardy, and now he's back to Triple H again.
I really like the Kozlov Triple H match from Survivor Series. I would like to see that as a feud built up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks like
they're going that way.
Because those two. That would be like no titles on the line, nothing. That would just be an awesome match.
Well, from what I'm seeing, that's what they're working to. Jeff Hardy and Edge are set to feud, which I think has a lot of potential, actually.
Well, I'm sick of seeing Edge. I'm honestly sick of seeing Edge in the title picture. I think Edge needs to take a back seat. And if they're bringing Christian back, this is the only time I will agree with it. I think you interject Christian into the title picture immediately. And you start feuding him and Jeff Hardy. And you let you need to let Edge take a back seat for a while. And I said this tonight to my wife and Rochelle. It is about time that Edge did a good long face run. Because it's getting to the point, like Triple H did towards the end of Evolution, where it wasn't even he was a heel anymore, and people hated the character. People really started to hate him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's getting to that point with Edge. He's been a heel for so long. I mean, back to 2006. 2005, 2006, with the first ECW pay-per-view. The first one-night stand. He's been a heel for so long that it's really time that he had a good extended face run to even it out again.
Well, here's what I would like to see. It looks like they're going to go with Jeff Hardy versus Edge for a while. I would like for Christian to return and jump Edge.
You know...
I would like to see the younger brother come back and knock some sense back into his brother for this Vicky Guerrero shit, for this, you know, the cowardly champion role that he's been.
The problem is you need to bring Christian as a heel, and if he did that, that would instantly put him over and instantly make him a face. Instantly. What you need to do, honestly, the storyline that they need to go with is to have him weasel his way in with Vicky.
Oh, God. I don't know. The whole advantage to my version of the storyline is we never have to see Vicky again.
I know, but you need... Unfortunately, Vicky right now is one of those necessary evils.
Oh, God. But she's getting what they used to call X-Pac heat, which is they're just so sick of it that, you know, it's exactly what you just described. No one is buying them as a heel. They just fucking hate her. It's not a good type of heat she gets. Just nobody tolerates her in the least.
No. The crowd would accept him as a heel immediately, because if you have him play the same game, the same cocky, arrogant game as Edge did, and put Edge to the frustration where Edge beat up Christian, it would take about a month to build, or so. But if you did it that way, and Edge beat the shit out of Christian, it would make Edge a face, and then you could build and go with it.
I don't know. The problem on SmackDown is Edge is the only prominent heel. I mean, they're just now building Kozlov into one of those roles, but he's still not credible world title material.
You know what Kozlov's missing?
A mouthpiece?
Yes, it's the same thing. Same thing that Abyss lacked for so long was a mouthpiece. Kozlov needs a mouthpiece.
No. Abyss had one of the best mouthpieces you could have. They just ditched him for no reason.
James Mitchell. You know who honestly would make a good mouthpiece for and it's sad that he's not in the company anymore, or it would have been a perfect role for him, would be Flair. Flair as a manager would be awesome.
No, that always seemed wasted. But then again, it'd be really hard to find somebody in the crop, and I don't think it's Kozlov that would do it, that was worthy of Flair. Because if you put Flair as the manager of somebody, then that person automatically has a gold star stuck to their forehead. And you have to spotlight them, and they have to seem like a big deal. And if they can't work a match, if they can't carry somebody, then you've killed any kind of credibility.
You lost me a golden star on the forehead. Are we talking about Kozlov?
No. I just mean anybody. If you put Flair as the manager for anybody, that automatically sets the spotlight on them. And if they choke, or if they're just not playing good enough for the role, then you've killed any kind of credibility you had with the angle.
Well, you got to go with somebody that's, I don't want to say necessarily proven, but somewhat established. That's why a guy like Kozlov would work, because they've already established his character for the most part. There are very few people within the WWE that Flair would work as a manager with. Kozlov is one of them. But you have to get a good mouthpiece. You have to get I'm just throwing this name out there. I don't think he would be a good manager for Kozlov, but you know where I'm going. You know what I mean by this. You gotta get a guy like Jimmy the Hart, Jimmy Hart, or Rick the Slick, or Slick Rick, I was thinking of Jake the Snake, or Slick Rick, or Bobby Heenan. You know what I mean? Bobby Heenan would be an awesome manager for Kozlov, or a guy like Bobby Heenan.
Oh man! But managers went the same way as ring psychology,
out the window.
Almost, the same as
it's a lost art.
Yeah, and I'd say the same for cruiserweight wrestling, and tag team wrestling is on its way out as well. WWE just doesn't teach any of those anymore, and it's killed. It's killed about 80% of the variety in the company. I mean, how many matches do you honestly see watching Raw and SmackDown which are punch, 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 throw into the turnbuckle or throw into the ropes, punch, punch, generic move, finisher?
Right.
I bring this up. The last time I saw Jamie Noble win a match, I swear to God, there was not one thing in there that I would call a wrestling move. He had one armbar takeover to win the match, and that was it. That was the only wrestling move, the only wrestling hold. There were no grapples. There weren't any kind of high spots. There weren't any kind of throws. It was just punching. It might as well have been an MMA match.
Right.
Okay, that's my rant.
Are you better?
I'm getting there.
Do Triple H can't turn heel again right now, Tim. He can't, because there's not any established... There's not any established faces other than Hardy.
I think that's really why... Okay, if they're testing MVP, that's why. Because MVP is just about there. He could be in title contention. And he could be a good heel for that role.
Oh, you've got to... The problem is that they've spent so much time and energy on establishing Raw as the predominant program that they've forgotten all about SmackDown, and they just kind of send a main eventer or two over there.
Yeah, that's why Triple H, Jeff Hardy, and Undertaker are on the same card.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Tim. You can't have, like, 9 main event heels and 1 main event face. It doesn't work. You have to have slightly more heels than faces. Maybe a 7-5 or a 4-2 ratio. You know what I mean.
You know, for some reason it just popped in my head. You know who's on SmackDown that hasn't been used in like a month?
Who?
Big Show.
Right.
Hasn't seen a damn bit of action.
He hasn't wrestled since Survivor Series.
It's been like 2 weeks. He fought Taker in a cage, and that was it. On SmackDown. And he hasn't been seen in like 2 weeks. It's not that long.
And well, it's long enough to make me forget about him.
Oh, he's completely forgettable. He had his run, and they kind of killed that. They blew his run.
The problem was I made him a lackey. That's all they did with him.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying WrestleMania last year, that was his moment. He was a hot guy. They should have pushed him to the moon right after that.
And they didn't.
They dropped the ball. He would have been your top guy.
Rock's just interjecting himself left and right tonight.
Yeah.
What can I say? I have opinions.
but Big Show is one of those guys that they could stick into that position and he's still believable. Okay, what?
Tim! I'm not disagreeing with you. I agreed completely. The problem is that there's no show to build around. It's a crap program. You know it and I know it. SmackDown is second rate. Absolute second rate. And it's not even that they need another heel. They have heels. They need to establish and build them. Kozlov, MVP, they need to build the heels. You can't have one guy sit there and take all the heat like Edge. It's run its course. It's absolutely run its course, and it needs to go by the wayside.
Yeah, simple math at this point. Edge,
listen, Canuck, the Hart Foundation is not going to come out of the back and save SmackDown. The Hart Foundation and Calgary Wrestling is as dead as Stampede and Stu Hart. Jesus, man.
They are getting set for D.H. Smith and, shit, what's his name?
That was a low blow, wasn't it?
Dude, that was a low blow. You punched all the way to his kidneys, dude. But they're getting ready for D.H. Smith and T.J. Wilson to come back in. That's 2/3. You put in Natty, and
right.
God, I don't even want to mention the name. But the fact is, even if you do have a full-fledged Hart Foundation, it's not enough. No one on the entire team is established.
Oh, Natty kind of is.
Yeah, but okay, established as in we can take Edge out of the world title picture and
that's the whole problem. It's not going to fix itself overnight. You have to build new heels.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have two predominant faces in Hardy and Triple H. But
and you've got another one with Taker.
And with Taker, you have three faces. But you don't have enough big heels. You need to build up Kozlov. You need to build up MVP. You need to rebuild Big Show. And if you're going to bring the Hart Foundation back, unfortunately, if you're going to have one faction, you have to have another to counterbalance it. Dude, you don't need to grab anybody off Raw. You need to build off of what they have. They have plenty of guys on that SmackDown roster who, given the correct push and correct gimmick, could be a main eventer. But they're not doing it. They want to write shit like a soap opera, and you can't do it. You can't right. hand a guy a handwritten promo and say, read it this way.
Right.
When you read a promo, it's supposed to be a natural act. It's supposed to come off naturally. That's why guys like Ric Flair were so good at it.
Okay, just by process of eliminations, ever since WrestleMania, is there anybody on the SmackDown roster that Edge has not feuded with? Because he's been the only one in the title picture the entire time. Even when he was off for injury. I mean, again, it was just like what happened with John Cena. They interjected him right back in immediately.
We're going to look. Boo. I hate this ad crap. Alright. Well, this is the current SmackDown roster. Okay?
Oh, you went to that too.
Mm-hmm. This is the current heel roster of SmackDown. Edge, The Big Show, Vladimir Kozlov, The Great Khali, Shelton Benjamin, MVP.
Whoa. Khali's face.
I know. This is what they have is the heel roster, but I was getting to that. Hold on. Shelton Benjamin, MVP, Chavito, Brian Kendrick, Ezekiel Jackson, who I've never even heard of, Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, D.H. Smith, T.J. Wilson, and Ryan Braddock. Immediately, the bottom half of that list goes by the wayside. Okay? You take Khali off of it because he's a face. So that leaves you with Edge, Show, Kozlov, Benjamin, MVP, and Chavo. Of those, you can build three of them, other than Edge, into main event guys. Show, Kozlov, and Benjamin. And maybe even a fourth in MVP. So, you know...
Yeah, it's not even that. I mean, there's so much... There's talent on there. That they could build as a heel, even if they are face right now. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at R-Truth.
And, guess who we forgot who's on the injured and inactive?
Who?
Kennedy, Tomko, Umaga.
Right, Umaga is still sidelined. They confirmed Tomko just re-signed. Kennedy right now is tweener, face, and... I don't know. I kind of like him in that role. He was heel for a long time, too.
Right. And Kennedy is a great heel. An absolute awesome heel. Kennedy's got the charisma of The Rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has the X factor to him. Unfortunately, he's just injury prone as hell.
Right.
No, but you've got so many on there that could either grow from what they are or just people that are there. There's people on the roster. Like I said, R-Truth. Mm-hmm. Who has worked a heel, who has been a great heel in TNA, who has held a world title in TNA and held it well, I might add, that they could build something with. You have the material there.
They absolutely have. And Carlito makes another good heel.
Yeah.
They have the makings to do it and do it from within and not have to bring anybody over from the Raw roster. First thing you need to do, though, is get Michael Hayes out of the writing position.
Oh, God, yes.
Let Stephanie write. Stephanie wasn't a half bad writer. She really wasn't. And you follow the Cubs, but you really don't follow sports other than that.
I don't really know.
And for anybody who follows sports will know exactly what I'm talking about. When a team starts doing horrible and doing bad and makes fundamental errors, what's the one thing in the next training camp that they always do? Go back to the basics. Relearn the fundamentals. And that's the first thing that they need to do.
I think one of SmackDown's biggest problems was that they built that brand based on variety. As soon as they slapped the cruiserweight division in there, then they completely did away with that, and now you've got everything is exactly the same, and the roster has been completely depleted.
And well, they do need to bring back like a light heavyweight division. They really do. And I think to bring back some diversity, you need to give each program something unique. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the whole point was the women's division was on Raw and the Cruiserweights were on SmackDown. And now you got two women's titles and both women's rosters are, you know, maybe a third of each one are decent wrestlers. So you know, even combining them, you only have enough good wrestlers for one division.
Oh, I don't have a problem. I absolutely don't have a problem with having, you know, some of the split titles, like the two heavyweights, the Intercontinental in the U.S., and then the two women's titles. You split the women's roster, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you say you reunite the tag titles and you put the tag team division on Raw. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You give the tag team division to Raw. Then you take the cruiserweights, the light heavyweights. Don't even call them cruiserweights. I mean, make it like an X division. You know what I mean?
Right.
You bring back, you make it like an X division where you put it at the light heavyweights, like 215. That way some of the bigger guys who aren't going to get into the heavyweight title picture can get into it and still have a decent title and a decent push. And you bring back the light heavyweight title and you put it on SmackDown.
Yeah, you'd have to rebuild that talent pool because they've completely depleted it, putting everyone else somewhere. Like,
Vince McMahon's biggest business decision other than creating the XFL, worst business decision was having Paul Heyman right there and not tapping his knowledge. Not saying, here you go. You've got no reins on you. Go for it.
Yeah, and it was over his own ego. Vince couldn't see past his inflated ego to actually see that he had someone talented in front of him. All he saw was, this is a guy who was competing against me.
Right.
And for, you know, it's, I mean, how long have we known Vince has this mentality where if it used to be against me, it has to be crushed.
Right.
You know, like he just put down the blacklist for anyone who was on Hulk Hogan's championship wrestling.
Who's all on it? Who was all on it?
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, it's Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, Jimmy Hart, Brian Knobbs was on it. And it was only for one episode, but it was probably the only, is probably the worst one that they could have closed the door to, is Rob Van Dam.
See, you know, Vince doesn't get it. Vince doesn't get it. This is where Vince's ego gets in his way. Competition makes your product better. look at the people that flocked to the WWE or WWF in droves during the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars, because they would watch WCW and want to see what Raw was going to do to counteract it. They had to see. Competition makes you better. And if you're the only program right now, if you're the only king on the block, let's face it, TNA isn't even in the ballpark. They haven't even got to the parking deck.
No.
If you have two programs, the best thing you can do is to take your viewers and make them fight amongst themselves to figure out which one they're going to watch. You know what I mean? And it doesn't hurt that one is on regular television, the other is on cable. It doesn't right. hurt that they're on separate ends of the week, but you're going to have people going, well, this guy's better than this guy. You can have inter-show feuds built out of it.
Right. You're going to have people loyal to one side or another. I remember seeing people, you know, getting into fights over which is better, NWO or DX. You know, I remember when people were proud of their loyalties like that, and
everybody
were
gets
debates.
My network. My network just replaced what was it, the WB that became the CW network.
Yeah, they replaced the UPN. It was all the leftover
UPN
networks.
Network. Yeah, I get it.
I got it here too.
Yeah. Who's your cable provider?
Comcast.
Not you. I'm talking to Steele in the chat room.
Oh, well, I don't know who you're talking to.
I don't.
She's supposed to be talking to me. You're reading the chat room.
He has Comcast. He has Comcast.
Okay, he says he has CW. I've got CW and my TV.
Call Comcast and find out.
Not all markets had both. To begin with, not all markets had WB and UPN. Went before the.
You will have yeah. both by the end of the year.
But to start, they not every place did. That was the big problem with my network TV, and the old WB in the past.
Yeah, you might want to. And Spud, considering there's only about 2.5 more weeks in the year, you might want to.
By the end of
2009. There you go. Don't sound retarded now. We're almost done here.
Right. I have to go down into the basement and paint later.
Oh, speaking of which, I got bored this weekend. So, Rock, do you mind playing that clip I sent you earlier?
Give me 1 minute to pull it up.
I told you to have it ready.
Well, just give me 1 minute. I'll be there in 1 minute. Just talk for 30 seconds.
God.
Or you don't talk and we go like this.
What do I pay
any of you people for?
Oh, stop it.
It's time to start the party.
Resistance is futile.
This is Otaku Talk Live.
How do you ever get anything done if all you ever do is argue with each other?
We don't! That's part of our charm! Quit fucking it up!
The best news. The oldest debates.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, a six-level monk that you better not fuck with.
If it's pink, it's here.
Blood. Oh, the blood god.
With the Omega.
He's Wacko.
Wacko? No! One
code, that's
green!
Spotify.
Me Grimlock, no bozo, me king!
And known as Stitch.
Nothing good can ever come from staying with normal people.
From movies to comics, video games to anime.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left!
Yes, I have!
Look!
There's a flesh wound!
You weak, pathetic fool.
And a lot of random shit.
Prepare ship for light speed.
No, light speed is too slow.
slow.
Speed too slow?
Yes, we're gonna have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Do or do not. There is no time.
That's it. I'm invoking Space Corps Directive 68250.
68250? But sir, surely that's impossible without at least one live chicken and a rabbi.
Get on with it.
Yes, get over it.
Get on with it.
It all starts now.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. Bravo.
That's about how much time I had on my hands this weekend.
I love the Grimlock line.
Yeah, I remember you requested that one.
Dude, I was almost in tears laughing. The moment I heard the red versus blue, how do you get anything done? I was like, he stole that from me, but that is awesome.
That's the most suited line for our show ever.
Oh my god! And then that line, and then I heard the blood for the blood god and the Grimlock. I went, yes! Me no bozo, me king!
You kind of stacked the deck against me picking a Transformer quote, because then I had a hell of a time picking one for myself.
Oh, dude, you went with Waspinator. Wongo!
Yeah.
Wongo!
So we have two Scott McNeil clips in a row, which is kind of stacking the deck.
No. He wasn't Grimlock, so that doesn't count.
No. He bled for the blood god.
Oh, well, yes, this is true.
No, I'm waiting for... I haven't played it for stage yet. There's a couple lines in there that he's going to geek over, because... That first line is from his favorite video game character ever, and the one for his name is from his favorite anime. So, I'm kind of catering to all you people.
Right. Well, dude, it was an awesome... I'm impressed. Bravo, sir. Bravo. You, much like Bob Cratchit will receive a raise this year.
Woo! Again, it's very late in the year for that, sir.
That's awesome. That is. I am impressed. Later, Steel. Oh, I suppose we should end this, huh?
Yeah, we've been on over 2 hours now. We've gone through the pay-per-view.
We have gone through the pay-per-view. Do you want to do a year in review of WrestleTalk Radio next weekend? Or the weekend after Christmas? We'll get Nick on. Maybe we'll get Tim.
Maybe. Jeez, there's a lot. Yeah, I guess enough happened in this year to go over it all again.
Look at the deaths, retirements.
Right, like Hulk Hogan's career.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, though. Maybe the 28th?
Yeah, I had to see what's on my calendar, but I could do it.
Right. Seriously, though. I mean, we'll talk about it, but stay tuned to the Wild Talk Radio Network. There may be a... Maybe something coming down the pipe where WETR makes a limited appearance. Maybe it's just me and Omega, but who cares?
Tim finally takes it off the schedule, and now we're bringing it back.
That's because...
Hey, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's a good
thing. Oh, you think it's a good thing?
Oh, it's really good thing. You guys seem like you want to talk wrestling.
I do!
Yeah, we
I
both
do.
Happen, I d- we both happen to watch the pay-per-view tonight.
I would like to have a reason to get back into watching wrestling.
Maybe a show is that reason. Not every week, but every couple.
I could do one every, you know what I mean? Every, like, I don't watch.
Right. You just do it every so often and... Rant.
You know, I don't watch the TNA pay-per-views because I can't justify spending $60 a month.
Why spend any sort of money on a pay-per-view?
But, I mean, the fact that our friend Rochelle, she'll buy all the WWE ones. I mean, I'll see every WWE one. But...
this is nice. I usually get to see him, so...
Right. I mean... just to give me a reason, and we don't even have to talk TNA. I mean, we can talk WWE. There's so much going on with it, we can kind of concentrate on it.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, usually these days there's enough going on, especially now that we got so many people trying to come back all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the start of the Road to Mania with the Rumble and all that.
Oh, my. This is one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year is the Royal Rumble.
I just hope it's not going to be... I'm looking forward to this one because it's not going to be overly predictable because we don't have anyone scheduled to return at the Rumble. You know, it's not going to be Cena coming...
Kennedy, maybe.
Kennedy would be a good pick. But, you know, it's not like... okay,
Taker.
You know, like last year, Cena made a surprise return at the Rumble, and you remember, I bitched about that so bad because as soon as the music hit, you knew who was going to win. It killed the whole point of that event to that point that for that entire match.
Was it just me? Or did the way that they had that arena lit last year for the Rumble made it seem like a really small arena?
I don't recall. It's been a while since I saw it.
Rock, do you remember the Rumble from last year?
Yeah, but it was Madison Square Garden, and they used a small entrance. That was the problem. They used that side entrance of Madison Square Garden where they have the one little entranceway, not the big stage like for all the other pay-per-views.
It did seem like a small arena, and I know Madison Square Garden on the inside isn't that big.
Right, but it holds a lot of people. It's just the way they had the arena set up. There's a small entrance. Usually when it's a big entrance, you see the big crowd. It's just the way they presented it. That made it look small.
But where's the Rumble at this year?
I want to take a guess. Detroit?
Detroit? You're going to hold it at Ford Field?
No. Joe Louis Arena, maybe. I'm not too positive, but I think that's what I read.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. That's one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. And then we got the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania coming up.
Right. Can I finish my fucking thought now?
Yes, please.
Jeez. I was trying to say I was looking forward to this year's Rumble because there isn't any obvious winner. Like last year, you remember how pissed I was that as soon as you heard the music for Cena, you knew it was going to win. I remember watching that whole Rumble going, I don't have a fucking clue who's going to win this time. Because they did such a good job of playing it up and that anyone in the ring at the time was a legitimate winner. And even Triple H was in doubt. So that should have told you it was done really fucking well. And then number 30 was Cena and I shut down the fucking pay-per-view. I couldn't watch it.
Right.
I'm thrilled that this year is going to be a little bit different. You know, there is no one due to make a comeback. Whoever is going to win it is not going to be downright obvious.
Right. But, all right, let's look ahead a little bit real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know all of the 30 participants in the Rumble. But we do know some of the bigger ones, or we can assume some of the bigger ones, being Jericho, Triple H, possibly Taker.
It's just about anyone who wasn't, who's not holding a world title right now.
Holding the world title.
CM Punk.
CM Punk, what feuds do you think that they're going to set up for the world titles? I mean, who do you think is going to walk away as the winner? Is it going to be an unknown, a lesser known, or a big name? Because they usually take the Rumble, aside from last year, as a way to build up a lesser known.
Usually.
Austin was a big name when he went to the title, but he still was, you know what I mean?
Right.
He hadn't crescendo, he hadn't peaked yet in his stardom.
If it's not that, it's usually to elevate someone who could have been a title contender, but needed a credibility push. I mean, that's why they gave it to Mysterio.
Or you had Batista, who was a lesser known. Triple H, the year he came back and went against Angle. Or Brock Lesnar, the year he won it.
Yeah, it's not even that they're lesser known, it's just that they're lacking that last bit of oomph to actually make them convincible world title holders.
Right.
You got a lot of guys in the WWE right now that qualify in that little role. Okay, I just looked it up. Yeah, you're right. The Rumble is in Detroit this year. And interestingly enough, they've got Umaga on the cover of the poster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how close he is to coming back, though.
Maybe. I mean, I could see Umaga, but I think Umaga would have to make a face push.
Because
it's really always been that the champion at the time has been a heel.
Well, I don't mean so much that Umaga's gonna be a contender. I really don't see Umaga as long as he's a great wrestler, but as long as he's stuck in that gimmick of the wild animal gimmick, he's not going past the Midgard.
Right.
Umaga doesn't scream WrestleMania main event. No way, no shape, no how. He does not scream WrestleMania.
Come on, dude, they could bring back the SHIT. Yeah. That would be awesome.
he doesn't scream Cyber Sunday main event.
Oh, that's harsh. Did you see they're getting rid of that pay-per-view next year?
Of course. Jeez, the buy rates were shit.
You know what match they need to bring back that I need to see?
What?
And bring it some credibility again.
What match?
The Elimination Chamber.
Oh, God. They do that once a year, and I've never seen him pull it off as well as the first time.
And that's probably going to be No Way Out this year.
Jeez. And you... Okay, I might be a little biased for the first time because RVD was jumping around like Spider-Man on the fucking thing, and nobody else has used the cage like that.
That's because he hurt Hunter. They'll never let anyone jump on the cage again.
But that's my favorite part about that match. I hated Triple H at the time, and RVD crushed his larynx. For me at the time, it was awesome.
Yeah. Right. Well, they need to let people jump off the cage. They need to kind of take the reins off and say, hey, business isn't going so well. We need to bring people back in. You know what I mean?
See, now I'm trying. There's been so much that they could do, and they've just. And the Elimination Chamber is just it's an interesting concept, but I don't think they ever got it right. I mean, it screams of the hell in the six man hell in the cell. You know, one concept didn't work, let's try and rehash it a little bit.
Yeah, and now with the two cells in, not two cells, two chambers in one night, that kind of is going to kill the gimmick.
Yeah.
You don't need two chambers in one night, you do one.
But they're probably going to do two again.
Yeah, they overkilled it last time they did that.
Yeah, no, one chamber. You only need one chamber match.
Alright, but it's WWE, so they have to do things more than once. Surprised it's not going to be three for ECW, but...
Oh, God.
That would be horrible, but... Don't
next
put it
TNA
past them.
Next TNA idea to be stolen? Lockdown.
You know,
just leave. Let's just leave the damn thing down the whole time.
Well, I mean, come on. The Money in the Bank ladder match is kind of a rip off of the X title match.
The Ultimate X.
That's it.
Yeah, but that's a number one. That's either for the number one contendership or the belt. It's not actually for. Let's face it. It's a ladder match. It just has more than two people, and the prize is a little bit different. I mean, I'm still in favor of just, you know, okay, the last like two or three years that they've held this event, the U.S. champion and the Intercontinental champion have been in the match. So let's do away with the fucking briefcase. Let's hang the belts up there. And whoever gets the belt also gets the title shot. If you don't cash it in, by the time you lose your belt, you lose the title shot too.
Mm.
So you have people fighting over the Intercontinental belt for more reasons than I'm not good enough to go after the world title. It might add some competition back to the mid-card, which is sorely needed.
It totally would. But then again, it's WWE, and it'll just stick Shelton Benjamin right in there so he can do his little flip off the ladder.
Yeah, and then get thrown through one at the end.
Right.
But even if you use the title shot that goes along with that scenario, you've still got people clamoring for the belt because it's a guaranteed shot to be in the next WrestleMania.
Right.
To be in the next Money in the Bank. So you have a gimmick attached to the belts that would create a competition all year round.
Right. You make one belt, like, you combine the U.S. and Intercontinental belt and make that a number one contender's belt and have it passed around.
Well, that's what it was supposed to be in the first place.
Right. But they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Now, I don't even mean combine the belts. I mean, you could just, okay, what brand are you on? Okay, grab that one.
Yeah, true.
I mean, at least if the mid-card champions are going to be in the match, at least have the belts on the line.
Well, they need to rebuild the tag team division. They need to start with the smaller divisions and build up from there. They really do.
They need to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
They do, but they're not going to.
I think we've covered a lot of little things that are missing.
But you know what we haven't covered?
What?
My return to my old stomping grounds last night.
Oh, do tell us.
Yeah.
So I can get to bed.
Yeah, as many of you know, I used to be a wrestler. I haven't wrestled in quite a while. Because of some shit that went down with the old promotion I wrestled with. And so I left there and haven't wrestled really since. But the thing was is that when I left, one of the title belts that I had in my possession, one of the replica title belts, was being used as that promotion's light heavyweight title. I haven't wrestled there in probably a little over a year and a half. And my partner across the field, DL Havoc, on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Shameless, shameless, shameless plug.
Number four.
It's WTR. So it looks like in our contract.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Had a little bit of falling out with someone in there, which I really don't want to get into because it's rather personal for him. And he left about a month ago. Well, he's part owner of it, and they decided to have a show and didn't tell him. So he went last night to go get his belts that they are using for the tag titles in the United States Championship there back. And I said, dude, while you're there, get my belt. And he said, well, why don't you come with me? Because apparently my name had been thrown into this whole situation as well. And I hadn't done a damn thing. You know what I mean? I was actually an innocent victim for once.
For once.
For once. And so I went. And we got there. And the one owner came out and I said, is my title belt here? And he said, no, it's not here. And I said, all right. And I said, well, you can shell out $150 for it right now. And he went, what? I said, walk over, get money out of the ticket box, hand me $150, and I'll be on my way, and you can have it. And he's like, well, hold on. And come to find out, it was in the back. It was here. And so it was at the arena. So they didn't have a sound guy. And they asked Donnie to do the sound. So I sat with him. And third up on the list on the card was the light heavyweight title match. And so I waited for the ref to hold up the title and hand the title off to me. Because I walked up to the ring to get it. You know what I mean? Like the valets do, the ringside people do.
Right.
And rang the bell and then walked out of the arena with title belt in hand. And I guess shortly after was a tag titles match and then the United States title match. And Donnie did the same thing. And so we walked out with our belts last night.
Nice. I love that. It's just okay. The belt. Okay. The.
So right now I'm the light heavyweight champion because it's sitting in the back of my car.
Oh, that's how it used to work in WWE.
It's one of those things where the guy who is the offender in the whole thing, I really would have rather punched his teeth down his throat.
Right.
But to fuck him over like that while he was in the middle of the ring just was so much better because it's karma coming back to bite him in the ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that was my foray back into my old stomping grounds last night.
I wish I could have been there when they were trying to look after the match, when they were looking around trying to find the damn belt.
Oh, I asked DL today what happened after I left, and he said I left literally right after you did. Oh, okay. So, but him and I are talking about going back through some training again and knocking all the ring rust off and maybe getting back into wrestling. Although that would make my wife very angry.
Hmm. Well, considering you just got beat up by your daughter, I don't think it's very wise of you.
Right. Well, I mean, she approves of the hobby I have now of sitting down in the basement for hours on end painting. At least she knows where I am. You know what I mean? She just goes down in the basement and finds me. It's kind of hard when I'm across the state wrestling. Oh, man. But that's our post-show edition of WTR for the Armageddon pay-per-view. Join us December 28th. Does that sound all right for everybody? Rock? Omega?
Sure.
That's fine with me. Unless Tim doesn't have a problem with it. We're booking ourselves on the schedule. But
you and I are the program directors here.
Well, that is true. Nothing he can actually do about it.
He can tell us no, but I mean,
we'll still do it.
Right.
Because I went, doing it, you guys are doing a show tonight. Oh, he goes, oh, really? Yeah.
So join us December 28th at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
All right. December 28th, 10 p.m. for the year in review. WTR, WrestleTalk Radio's Year in Review for Wrestling, and then next time will probably be the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I know it's not going to be an every-week thing, but
We'll be around.
We'll probably do more than one show a month, but really, what is there to do? I mean, I already do two shows, and this makes it a third again, and then I've got a fourth coming.
Right.
That I'm a co-host on.
Yeah, and I'm still on OTL, and I've still pulled double duty on every other Thursday night.
Right. I mean, everybody's busy, but, and I mean, we will have to come up with a different intro. We have to get Tim's name out of the intro, because he doesn't do WTR anymore.
Yeah, that was the one he made for Nick when he did the show. Tim actually made a new intro.
Which means you have a job to do, Rock.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, I just did an intro. I'm off duty.
There you go. You can put the Hyde and Wright quote in there.
Yeah, that'll work. So we got 2 weeks? Okay, we can do that.
Right. Anyway, thank you all for listening tonight. Come again. Oh, we don't think you're not coming back, but when you come back, we'll have fully taken over. This is anarchy, bitch. Mutiny. Anyway, thanks for listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, the post-show pay-per-view edition. Check us out December 28th, 10 p.m. for the year in review. Have a good weekend, everybody. And don't forget to check out all the fantastic programming all across the Wild Talk Radio Network. TK's Tirade on Tuesday. Fire Nights Wednesdays. Across the Field, Off the Cuff, the British Edition, and Otaku Talk Live on Thursdays. Friday night, you got Off the Cuff. And Saturday night, Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Funny, funny show. Night, everybody.
Later.
Wild Talk Radio Special with this.